Yeah, God is sovereign, isn't he? He is sovereign. What that means is, when we say that God is sovereign, it means he is in charge, that he is the one that calls the shots. He is the one that directs us and leads us, and it's so exciting. Jack is quite right. So exciting to know that this sovereign God has got his hand outstretched. Don't worry, I'm going to cut back on my sermon today because I believe that God has got a key thing he wants to share with us. If any of you are here when Dave Latham spoke a little while ago, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. It's very powerful, but at the beginning of his talk, he shared a prophetic word for us, which was to increase and release. And I don't know if any of you are here, if you've allowed that to just dwell on your heart, but I encourage you to do that because the Bible tells us not to treat prophecy with contempt. And so when somebody brings a prophetic word, we need to allow that to weigh on our hearts. And I've been allowing that to weigh my heart over the last few weeks. What do you mean, Lord, by that? Because we can hear prophetic words and it sounds great, doesn't it? Increase, it rhymes to start with. How good is that? Increase and release. But what does it actually mean? It sounds prophetic. It sounds godly. But what does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? And so I've been thinking about that. I'm going to be sharing a little bit because I believe this word increase is something that God wants us to really focus on. But just this morning, as people being prayed for, I was looking in Mark's Gospel, and we are going to be looking in Mark's Gospel a little bit later on, fairly soon. And in Mark's Gospel, it talks about the dead girl, Jairus' daughter, 12 years old, had died. My Grace was 11 on Christmas Day, 11 years old on Christmas Day. I can't believe she's growing up, about to go to high school. And everything that I feel for Grace and everything that my hopes are for Grace and all of my memories of Grace and the wonderful times I've had over Christmas, Jairus would have had for his daughter too. And she died. And so he does what any of us would have done if we'd have heard of somebody going round healing the sick and raising the dead. Come to my house. My little girl is dead. And he gets delayed on the way. And he arrives at the house. And he gets to the house. And it says that he went in. Jesus went in. And there was a commotion. And there were people who were crying and people who were wailing loudly. And he says, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him, it says. Verse 40, but they laughed at him. Now, if ever you want to step out in faith, what's the thing that holds you back? And so often it's that, but they might laugh at me. They might laugh at me. I was reading this magazine, Jam magazine, because I'm of the kind of the age that would read that. Jam magazine, it's for young people who are down with it, and I've even got the lingo, and there's a great story in here by a guy called Graham Swan. He's written a book called Prison Without Bars, and it's his testimony, and it's a bit gruesome, so I'm not going to read it all out to you, but it's a great testimony. I'd encourage you, whatever age you are, there's a few copies on the table out there, so grab a few copies and just read it and pass it on. And he had a terrible, terrible upbringing. And then it says here, at 40 years old, I met a Christian guy. I thought he was nuts. Do you know that's what we're worried about, isn't it? When we want to step out in faith and share our faith, we're worried about that, aren't we? I thought he was nuts because he said God talked to him. Do you think the world thinks we're nuts? If you were to stand up in a court of law, God told me. We were watching Evan. Has anybody seen Evan Almighty? He's in a situation basically, and he says, God told me, and you know, straight away you think, yeah, I think he's nuts as well. And yet God speaks to me. And yet, you know, to stand up and say it, I thought he was nuts. God talked to him and had told him that I'd been hurt as a boy and that God wanted to heal me. God is in the business of setting prisoners free and healing the broken. He told me that Jesus loves me and that I could experience love, joy, and peace. Somehow, I knew there was truth in it, so I started going to church. And this book is full of real-life testimonies, and I would encourage you to get inspired, because Jesus walks into this place, and they all laughed at him. And I love the next bit. Because what does Jesus do? Does he like, oh, they've laughed at me. Oh, never mind. I'll go and heal somebody else. What would you do in a situation like that? You're surrounded by people who are genuinely grieving, some of them wouldn't have been, but grieving. And they say, oh, no, I'm going to step out. If God's told me that I'm going to pray for this person, and they just laughed at you. Oh, dear. Then it says this, after he put them all out, I love that. It's just like he doesn't allow that to be the thing he focuses on. After he put them all out, he takes charge of that situation. Says, so what if they're laughing at me? He put them all out. So what if they think I'm nuts? So what if they think I'm stupid? So what if they think that it doesn't make sense? He put them all out. Let's just get rid of the unbelief, because I want to do something which is a God thing here. Because what was his focus? His focus was on the miracle that God wanted him to do, God the Father. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother. I just love that. Because what did Jesus operate in? Did he operate in faith? Yes, but the Bible tells us this, that faith prompts acts of love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Faith prompts acts of love. And as Billy Graham said last week on the DVD that we watched, when he stood up in front of thousands of people, he looked out across them all and he saw their needs and their hurts. And Jesus saw the mother and the father above the commotion, above the wailing, above the laughing, above the despising, above the mocking. He saw them in need and he said, I am going to step out in faith. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, overwhelmed, filled with joy. If it was my grace. You see, when Dave came and spoke to us, he spoke about increase. And in Mark chapter 4, just a few verses earlier on, Mark chapter 4, verse 30, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, but I'm going to change it slightly. Are you allowed to change the Bible? No? Okay. And it says this, what shall we say Ormskirk Christian Fellowship is like? Let's turn to it. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. I said last week I'm going to be talking about the future and where we're up to and what we're going to be doing. And I do want to communicate a lot of that to us, but we're yet, because of our circumstances for myself and Adrian, I want to thank everybody for their support and for their love and for their pavlovas and for their chicken soups and for everything else and for the flowers and for the cards. You know, it means a lot. Those are acts of faith, acts of faith. And I want to really say thank you very much. But as our circumstances have been as they are, we've not got together as leaders. So I'm going to be communicating with you over the next couple of weeks. In 2 weeks' time, we've got a guy, hopefully, called Michael Kelly coming to talk about World Mission. So he'll be here in a couple of weeks' time. And then next week, I'm going to tell you in a minute what we're going to be doing next week. But here in Mark chapter 4, verse 30, what shall we say Ormskirk Christian Fellowship is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the garden, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. God wants us to be a church that is planted in the loving heart, loving embrace of God, as we've seen this morning, as we've heard this morning, and to grow. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them and said, increase. God didn't create a finished article and say, there, keep that as it is. He didn't say, he didn't build something, say, just polish that up and keep it like it is forever. God created something to grow. It's in the DNA of creation, in the DNA of you and me and of church to grow, to increase. It's in our DNA. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, God made a covenant with Abraham and said, I will make nations of you. Nations. I will increase you beyond what you could imagine. Not just one or two children running around the place, but nations of you. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. 3,000 were added in one day. In one day. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Lord added to their number daily, every day. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. The number of disciples increased rapidly, despite persecution from the priests and Sadducees. In fact, many of the priests became believers. The opposition became the believers. Acts chapter 16, verse 3. The churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. It's within the DNA of the church to grow and to increase, and that's what God wants for us. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. At Ephesus, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in numbers, grew in power. Let's go back to Isaiah, the prophecy about Jesus, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end, and we need it today. I was listening to Radio 4 the other day because I'm posh. I was listening to Radio 4 coming home, getting cleverer and cleverer. There was a news article about communist China. And in communist China, they have decided they're fed up with the smut on TV and the smut of culture. And what they're doing is now they're banning cleavages on television. And they are... Any actor that has slept with prostitutes or is doing drugs is banned. And they said, we want a wholesome culture. Now, how they go about it, I don't know how they're going to do that. But I kind of thought to myself, why is it that communist China are leading the way on morality and culture, and I can't turn my TV on without something staring me in the face that I don't want to look at? Without something getting into my head and causing me to struggle? Why is it that my culture assaults me in communist China are doing something about it? Why can't my government do something about it? Why do they just let it go on? Why is it that just pornography is all over the place and we say, oh, Jimmy Savile, what a nasty man he was. Page 3, hey! The same papers that would condemn Jimmy Savile, and I agree with that, propagate it on the next page. Kind of culture do we live in? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We need a church that increases. We need a morality that comes and is rooted in the values of the kingdom of God at the cross, where Jesus died by his blood, that would say, enough is enough. We're not about being contained within our church. We're about increasing. So what does an increase in faith look like for us in this new year? And Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles asked, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said an interesting thing. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can do miracles. What Jesus is saying, don't ask for your faith to increase. Ask for your faith to be used. Small as it is, and I love the message, it says here in page 119, and they don't do verses, so it might take a while to find it. The apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. But the master said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it. It isn't the size of your faith. It's whether or not you obey the promptings of God. So I've got a question for the life groups. I've got a question for you. Is there anything that you are praying and hoping and desperate for at the moment? Something that you want to move and you feel you need more faith for, when in fact you just need to use the mustard seed you have and step out? Tabo talked about faith encounters and those steps towards faith encounters. Tabo.Huntley@hotmail.com. Is that going in the newsletter, Ruth? Yeah. Tabo.Huntley@hotmail.com. Have I got that wrong?
No.
Okay, it's going in the newsletter. And what Tabo asked last week was, for anybody who is stepping out in a faith encounter, anybody who is wanting to step out of faith encounter, anybody who is wanting to take a step of faith, who has made maybe a step towards that step of faith, to email him So I'd like us to do that. Faith is not about having more faith, but being obedient with the faith you have. Increasing faith comes from increasing obedience. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. We're called to an obedience that comes from faith. James chapter 2, verse 18. I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith is increased by being obedient to God, acting in accordance with our relationship with a sovereign and loving God who calls us daily to increase his kingdom through acts of love prompted by faith. Our faith increases not by focusing on our faith, but focusing on the object of our faith, the one who we put our faith in, loving God. The increase is God himself. We bring who we are, we bring what we have, we bring where we are to him. And he brings the increase. So just to finish with, and I am going to finish here, the question here is this. What will we do to increase the kingdom? Today, this week, this year, what will you do to increase the kingdom? Today, this week, this year, what acts of love prompted by faith will you do? And we've got a weapon for you. It's called the church notice sheet. And in the church notice sheet, there are an amazing amount of steps of faith that we can take. Let me just show you one or two of them. And if you've got a notice sheet, you can even look at these. First of all, we have got every Friday and Saturday in the boiler room, we have got a time for stepping out in acts of faith prayer. As people go out onto the streets to share the gospel with those who are completely bladdered and those who are about to be completely bladdered. And those people who have been so bladdered so many times and they've got so fed up with it and they need something else that's going to answer their problems and deal with their pain. People stepping out in acts of faith to share the gospel with those on the streets of Ormskirk on a Friday night till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. People who would normally be in bed by 9:30 with a cup of cocoa are walking the streets in the rain and the snow. So, Friday night, you don't have to go out, but if you do want to go out, please see Dave, because Dave has been faithfully going out there with Andrew and a few other people over the last 3 years. No, Dave, is it three? 4 years. 4 years, praise God. But you can join them for prayer at 10 o'clock. We have a prayer meeting on Sunday mornings, a Rise prayer meeting. Acts of faith, where prophetic words can be received that can be shared on a Sunday morning. Andrew was doing a course for those who are new to Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, and that's something that we're going to talk to you about at some point because we're sort of changing things slightly there, but that's something which Andrew is doing and talking about what our values are. It's a great place to encourage one another. And the ones that I've been to, we've shared our testimonies, and it's been such a building of faith. We've got a drop-in at the Boiler Room, Friday 8 till late in January. Come along to that because that's an opportunity to share with people who come in off the streets, who've got questions. We've got an Act for Justice meeting on the 15th of January that I would like people to go along to, because at that you can make a difference for those who are struggling, who are imprisoned, for those who are enslaved. We've got the highest number of slaves that we've ever had, and we want to end that. And so that's on the 15th of January. We've got an unplugged evening of worship where we're going to really come into the presence of God on the 19th of January. And where we're going to reach out to God and said, Lord, we come to you now because we know we need you to move in our lives. We've got the Outrageous Women course that Jane is leading at Wendy's house because we believe that God wants to use every single one of us in a powerful way. He wants to build us up and send us out. And we've got a baby shower. Kirsty's not here today. Is she okay? Yeah. So we've got a baby shower for Kirsty. Do you know what? When I had a knock on the door after it was Adrian's mum's funeral and people had been coming around with food, and I was just thinking, I'll go out to the co-op and get a cheesecake because I just need, you know, sometimes you need a bit of sweetness. And there was a knock on the door. And there was Gail with the pavlova. And do you know what? Gail probably doesn't realize she was in answer to prayer. But it's the small acts of faith. Sometimes I think about doing things like that, and I think to myself, ah, they won't want that. It can be an act of faith, can't it? To actually step, and I don't know whether it was or not for Gail, but certainly it was a blessing. And I think turning up to a baby shower to somebody, you know, who's maybe, you don't know what position Kirsty's in at the moment, but it's not about necessarily the baby, it's about love. Faith, acts of love prompted by faith. Animating action, Ms. Carl. Wow. Do you have to have done animate to do that one?
No.
No. Right, if you don't know what animate is.
It's a bit weird.
It is weird. I love weird. Don't we love weird? We love weird. Animating action. Just if you want a fresh encounter with God, have a chat with Carl and he'll sort you out. Animating action. And then if you turn over, can you have a look at that? We have got so many people in this church stepping out in ministry. How amazing is that? It's so exciting. But I know that we need more. So if you can't see your name there, if you can't see your name there, and there's not a good reason why your name shouldn't be there, then just imagine your name being there. Just imagine that. And Mike standing up and saying, oh, look at that person there. They've stepped out in faith. Because as you step out in acts of love, it is an act of love to come at 9 o'clock in the morning and set some of this equipment up and to sort it out. Because the people who do it because they love you. They love us. But also to enable them to get a little bit of peace and to be able to perhaps witness themselves and have the freedom and energy to do that, wouldn't it be great to release some of them? Wouldn't it be amazing to have your name on there? And then on the back page, we have all the events that it would be so good to turn up to. What is the faith encounter? What is the act of love that you're going to step out into today, this week, this year? Who are you going to witness to? Who are you going to witness to? Who are you going to love so much? Remember that testimony last week, the grandma shouting in the kitchen. For those who were here last week will know what I'm talking about. The grandma shouting in the kitchen, you've got to get to church. To the granddaughter who was suicidal and had planned that day to commit suicide. And the grandma knew and she wasn't going to give in. And so Lauren went to church and gave her life to Jesus. And she's here today, or wherever she is today, because of that. If it was me, would I have given up on the first, you've got to go to church today? No, I'm not going, okay. Who are you going to hold on to so much until they step into the greatest adventure of their lives? Who are you going to witness to? So next week, if you'll notice on the notice sheet, it's Sunday the 18th of January. Now, on yours, there's a blank bit. Have you got a blank bit on yours? There's not a name there, is there? Imagine your name there. Because it's all very well, me and other people standing up and saying, we need to step out in faith. We need to do faith things. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do this week? What are you going to do this year? It's all very well me doing that. And then we come again and we talk next week about something else. We're going to leave it blank. Because I want you to imagine your name there. I'd like you this week to step out in faith. And I don't mind starting it off next week. But I want to be one of many. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to invite you to come along and tell us what it is that you have done this week. What's happened this week? And it may not have been successful. You might have said to somebody at work, can I pray with you? And they might have said, and this has happened to me, they might have said, no. I know it's not a great inspiring story, that one, is it? But it is. I stepped out in faith. I've done it before and they've said yes. They just said no this time. No.
But you know what? That's kind of encouraging, isn't it? For somebody to stand up and say, look, I asked somebody if I could pray with them, and they said, no, it happens. But I don't know if she'll come back to me at some point and say, look, Mike, you know that moment when you said, well, can you do it now? So I want us next week, even if it's just for 2 minutes, for people here, I'm not going to pick on people, don't worry. Perhaps I should say I will. Should I say I will? No. Yeah, I will, yeah. I'm going to pick on people next week. And I would like you to share. So imagine your name in that slot next week. I'm not asking for long, long sermons. I'm just asking for some encouragement, some inspiration. And I want us to be a church that would increase. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of the increase. We thank you that the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end. We thank you, Lord God, that this world needs increase. It's not enough for us to sit here and to be happy in our salvation. But you call us to increase. You say, go out and share the good news in whatever way you can. Whether that's a Friday night, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of Ormskirk, or whether that's being a debt counsellor, or whether it's in the food bank, or whether it's in our workplace or our families, whether it's a text message, or whether it's stepping out and saying, can I pray with you? You don't know me, but I really feel God is calling me to pray for you. Whatever it may be. It may be that this week, Lord God, you want to inspire somebody to step out into a brand new ministry and to lead others into a new ministry this week. Whatever it is, Lord God, I ask that you would bring an anointing upon us to see an increase of your government, to see an increase of your kingdom, to see an increase in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, an increase in acts of love prompted by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask if people could go to say to the kids' church that we're finished, and if you're a parent with a child in creche, if you can go and get them, that would be really, really good. And I don't think Dave needs to do the notices now, does he? So in a minute, Dave's going to share anything that I haven't shared from the notices. Thanks, Dave. Yeah.